Open your Bibles up. John chapter 17. Jesus praying. I don't think, starting in the 20th verse, I don't think I'll ever be able to give this thing the due credit that it deserves in these verses. I have rehearsed them. I have tried to sound like what I think Jesus would. But what I want you to do as I read them is I want to set the scene for you. He's in a garden. You understand? He's in the garden. There are pictures around. They have one at Sam's Creek. I've seen, I don't have many of them. It's an old painting, and I don't know who painted it, but it's a picture of Jesus leaning on a rock, praying, while a single beam of light is on him. And just off in the background are the disciples. He is again that rock, praying. I want that in your head as you hear these words. These are not just words on a piece of paper. These are words that the disciple whom he loved, John, heard. That God gave him a great spirit to put down. That as Jesus prayed, knowing time was drawing to the end, he was making sure that he prayed for future believers so that they would be completely connected. At John 17, verse 20, Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know you that have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Let us pray. Father, add your blessing to this message. These are not my words. These words belong to you. And as we come together today, as we connect here today, Father, let us be strengthened by it, that we may be better enabled to face whatever the world hurls at us, that we may realize just how tightly we are together. Father, set our course for this. Let us learn and draw ever closer to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now I have a confession to make. Today I am about to break one of my own rules for the very first time ever. I have a set of rules that I follow and I stay true to those rules. But today I'm breaking one. Simply because I can't help it. I shared this sermon a few weeks ago at the tractor show, and there were a few people there. But this sermon needs to be shared. It stays stuck in my mind. Long before the formation several weeks ago, it's a constant theme in my head. A lot of people wonder what it must be like to live inside my head. And I got to tell you, it's a pretty fun area. You know, there's candy and ice cream and tractors. But the things that I think about and constantly are given to think about are a running theme. And I wanted to preach this sermon again because I wanted you all to hear it. And I went to do it for two past Sundays and it wouldn't work. I was forcing it. I was trying to play his hand. But then I realized what this Sunday means. It just ain't the 1st of September. We have to say goodbye for a little while. Because David and Fran will be taking an arduous journey as they step away from us in a couple of days and won't leave behind just us, but a son and a daughter to go back to work. I wanted to talk about this sermon. I wanted to redo this. And so I asked God at the beginning of the week, I said, "Now?" And He said, "Go ahead, boy." He says that every now and then. You may not believe that, and that's all right. But now I got some personal questions to ask you. And they're very personal, and they're very deep, and they're very probing. My first question is, how did it start? I want you to think about these answers. How did it start? How old were you? Were you alone? Did someone help you? And if they did, do you realize that you are connected to them forever? Forever. But how did it start? You see, when I preached this at the tractor show, this was easy because everybody there was into tractors. And so I bent it around that, but I bend it back to you. How did it start? Anything that you like, anything that you find enjoyment in, gardening, quilting, cooking, baking, working on tractors, woodworking, shop time, whatever it is, how did it start? How old were you? We all know my story. It's tractor life. It's a gas engine life. It's a farm way of life. It started at birth. I was 9 months old at my first tractor show. There is a picture of me in a bassinet crib wheel looking thing, pushed underneath of a steam engine down at a show in Virginia when it wasn't fired up because it was so hot that summer that they just slid me underneath there in the shade and let me lay under there. My father thinks that's where it all started. Something dripped off that engine, got into my brain, and that was it. It started with my grandfather. How did I start as a pastor? Oh, you know that story. That was never happening. I was the ultimate preacher's kid. All I wanted to do was run and run and run and run and run. But unfortunately, fortunately, I am connected to a string that goes all the way back. But to you, I ask, how did whatever it was start? I wanted to quilt, all right? I thought, I'm going to try to quilt. Now remember, take a look at these tater grubbers. And I got my aunt, who is the greatest quilter I know, almost. Eloise is a great quilter, too. And I said, I'm going to have to try some quilting. And after I stuck my finger 16,000 times, I said, you know what? That's it. I ain't no quilter. But I can't forget what it was. She's on to teaching my cousins how to quilt now. And I love watching it. How did I learn to cook? Well, that part was easy. Everybody in my family eats. Can't you tell? And all of our recipes start the same way. Take one good cup of lard, blop, and go to work. Everything. But I remember those times. I think about those connections. I think about those people who are no longer here with me that maybe touched me for a moment and then moved on. And you had them too. You had someone somewhere. Every step you have taken in your life affects you and what you are. And you are connected to them forever, whether it was for good or for bad. Whether it was because they were bad that made you draw closer to Christ, or whether it was good that they taught you the things that made you you. So Jesus prays for you.
Hardest thing to read in the Bible.
I defy you in your quiet time to get into John, into 17 chapter, 18 chapter, and read them and not choke up. Because you're watching over and over and over again a man who is connected to all of us step up for this. It tears me up. It absolutely tears me up to think about that he is that connected to us. It tears me up even more to realize that he died not just for a scrubby old man like me, who had a wealth of brethren history, who knew what church was, had gone to church, but he died for that person out there that does not even know he exists. For the future believers, so that one day you could be connected to that person. That's what we're all about. Amen?
Amen.
That's the connection. We're all connected here. We're all tied in together. I love singing all them hymns that lead up to a sermon, because in my mind, running somewheres in the back, is the fact that each and every one of those hymns that we may mumble through, or we may not necessarily like that hymn, so we sing it a little softer, but we really like that hymn, so we sing it a little louder, but each and every one of those hymns connects us even more to the praise that our Savior deserves. It ties us together and prepares us for out there. We get connected. We get tied in. We go back to that scripture and we take another look at it. Back to that 20th verse. He starts it right off. As he is on that rock praying, he is talking to his Father. Make no mistake about it. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the Bible is full of discrepancies and is inaccurate. If they do, put the Bible down, pick up a hymnal, and smack them with that. Don't ever let them tell you anything like that. Because in those words, my prayer is for them, not for me. Jesus is sitting there saying, at this time, I want things left to you, Father, that what I'm doing here will blast forward into the future. We say them words like it rolls off our tongue. I cannot believe that summer's over. Where did it go? Well, it went the same place it went last year. From one point to the next point. It seems like it's just going faster and faster and faster. Do you understand that just 2,000 years ago, He died for our sins? Just 2,000. That is a short period of time. And yet in this, He's praying for that great connection. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. In that set of words, he's saying that every time you speak of Christ, every time you're opening the message up. If you say something as simple to somebody, hey, God bless you. Huh? God bless you. Well, what do you mean? Well, I want God to bless you today. Well, why? Well, because he did me. Well, why? Because I believe in Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Who knows how that'll go from there? God bless you. It's as simple as something as being watched in a restaurant. You know, I've talked about this before. As being watched in a restaurant, say grace. Take a good look around at a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm afraid I'm a little bit ornery when I do this. And, well, oh well. But I love going to a restaurant after church on Sunday and watching people come in from church, and you can tell they got a tie on and they're dressed, and they'll come in and they'll get at that table, and the minute that food hits the ground, didn't you just come to church?
Yeah.
You forget something? What? Say the blessing! I love people when I catch them when we get done, because I'm deaf as a post. I am forevermore being hounded more and more to go get hearing aids. And I will not do it. But so I have the boys say the blessing in the restaurants, and because I can't hear, I make them speak real loud. And then when we're done, people in the restaurant look over the table like, what did they just do? Oh, it's called saying grace. Why do you say grace? Because if I didn't, my grandmother would come up out of the ground and get me. Because I'm connected to that. Because you're connected to that. Because it's not just words. I don't even know who said it today. Somebody said something about not going through the motions. I don't know whether it was during your prayer, but I heard those words. You're not here because you have to. You're here because you want to, because you need it. I can't not go to church. Can't. Even on them days off, I was still at church. Yeah, it was at a tractor show or underneath the tent or wherever it was. I can't not go to church. Because I need it. Because I'm a mess. And I fully will admit it. And so that connection that I have here, I need to strengthen every time I can get a chance. Jesus is praying for that. Go back to the scripture. He goes on to say down there, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May they also be in us. Jesus, my light. I love the little hand signals and the flashing brake lights and all that kind of stuff. I loved every minute of that. So that they may also be in me. So that they will believe. So that the world will see. That they will believe. That harkens back to what? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? Hide it under a bushel? No. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Imagine at that point tears are rolling down his face. Because all he wants is for his children to be with him. That's all. That's all. He goes on to say, and to see my glory. And if anybody ever tells you that Jesus ain't the beginning and the end, back them up to that verse. If it's your Bible, underline it, earmark it. If it's the Pew Bible, put a note in there, because we should always note that verse. Given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world began. Right there he was. Probably watching the whole thing. Connected in that moment. Connected. Jesus said that we are all connected in the moment that we touch. Flip over to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian. If that ain't the greatest story of connection that the Bible has ever put forward, I flat right don't know what is. Philip and the Ethiopian. Two absolute strangers. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, starting. I love how it starts off. And I'm telling you right now, I am a big old boy. I am not scared of pretty near anything. I know how to move cows around. I know how to hog tie. I can throw 100-pound bales forevermore. I'm scared of very little except my wife. But I know this. We read that first verse. Look at this thing with me. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It doesn't say he questioned it. It doesn't say he thinks about it. The next verse says, so he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man was big time. He was in charge of the money. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading a book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I want you to pay attention to verse 30. Once again, the angel's telling him to do stuff. It must have been a fearful thing, because the next verse says, then Philip ran up to the chariot. Ran, that's running. That means your feet are moving way faster than they were ever intended to be. Something I'm not capable of at this time. You know, unless it's the last piece of chicken and I want it. Ran up to the chariot. We know what happens next. Heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you were reading? How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Stop right there. The beginning of the connection. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with them. And the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, what is the prophet's talking about? Himself or someone else? And then that next verse, I love that. It makes you smile. Do you get that warm feeling when you read it? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. At that moment, brothers and sisters, they are connected for all of eternity. How long is eternity? How long is eternity? There's no beginning. There's no end. My father used to use a great illustration that I love so much. He used to say this all the time. Imagine, if you will, a solid rock, 100 miles high, 100 miles wide, and 100 miles long. And every 100,000 years, a little parakeet stops to sharpen its beak on a corner of the rock. That ain't even 1 second of eternity. You know how long it would take to wear that down? There is no end. For all of eternity, they will now be connected. And as a matter of fact, up there now, they stand together smiling. Have you ever made that connection? What a powerful thing that is. And guess what? You may not be the one that leads them. You may be the one that starts the ground ready. But you are connected forever. Connection is a wonderful thing. Has it ever occurred to you, A.W. Tozer was writing, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos are all tuned to the same fork, are automatically tuned to each other? A tuning fork. Boom! Used to get in trouble with them things every day in music class when I was in school, because I'd get one and hide it under my chair. And when the teacher was up there trying to talk, I'd tap the chair leg. Now I'd look around the room. Where'd that come from? I love them things. Of course, they figured me out. He said they are of one accord, being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be and are connected. Were they to become conscious, they might turn their eyes away from Him and strive for their own fellowship. We have to be connected to stay focused on what it was. Wanting that connection. A student teacher in Sunday school in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, president of the Young People Society, was the author of a hymn. He said, one day I met a girl that was 14 years old. She didn't have no clothes on, barely had shoes on her feet. She was very shabbily dressed. She was the child of a drunk who drank up all their money all the time. But she still came. She accepted my invitation come to Sunday school and join the Young People Society. One evening at a consecration meeting, when all the members answered the roll call by repeating scripture texts that they had memorized, she failed to respond. And I spoke of what a sad thing it would be if, when our names are called in the Lamb's Book of Life, one of us should be absent. I said, I need a way to connect. Oh God, when my name is called, may I be there to respond. I longed for something suitable to sing, but I couldn't find anything. So we closed the meeting and I started on my way home, but I couldn't stop. The idea came to me, well, why don't you write it? I didn't think of the idea very well. I wasn't no writer. I couldn't ever write no hymn. But when I got home, my wife saw my face and saw what I was under and saw how I was being drugged against and questioned me, but I made no reply. And then the first words of the stanza came to me in full, and in 15 minutes more, I had composed the other two verses. Going to the piano, I sat down and I wrote the music. And it'd be played from here on out, never changed note for note. His name was James Black. I got everybody. And I'm going to sing the first line of James Black's song that he wanted to make sure that we were connected. And no, I'm not. Get your hymnals open to 774. See what the name of that hymn is. We're all going to sing it a cappella. You just sit still, Anna Lee. I'll let you park on this one. 774, the hymn of connection. The hymn to talk about how completely connected we all are, written just up the road in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, by a man by the name of James Black, who simply wanted to reach out and make sure we were all tied together. How about we do the first and last verse, and we're going to sing it loud and proud. Ready? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. And the sake of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You can sing louder. Amen.
Amen.
What a way to be connected. What a way to know. What a way to absolutely see things as they are. My heart bursts when I think about being connected. This is what runs in my mind. We need to set aside our differences and remember how connected we are. We need to be those children of God that He wants us to be. We will be there. We will be there, linked together no matter what, no matter where, no matter how far away we go. We will always be connected. We will always love and pray for each other. We will always be known that way. And as we say temporarily goodbye, we are connected to you. You ain't leaving. You're just going back to work for a spell. But we are connected. We think of you. All of us think of you as you go back to continue the work that you were called to do. And that calling is something you can't get away from. When that angel said to Philip, get up and go, he got up and ran. That's what the Bible says. When he called you, David, you went. When he called you off the beach, I've heard your story. All I wanted to do was sit on the beach. I didn't want to go in that jungle, but you went. We're all connected. We are all connected. Come up here, y'all. We are all connected right here. We are all tied into these two that will leave us for a short time. Are they any less family? No. Do we forget about them? No. We love them. We pray for them. But do you know what happens? How many miles away? 10,000. Is that about right? 10,000 miles?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
It's more than I care to count. More than I can drive in a day. That many miles away, while we're at home, they're praying for us. While they get ready to go, do you understand? While they get ready to leave, their connection doesn't stop. Alice, you will be prayed for. You will be cared for. You will be loved. If Robert was here, he'd be telling him the same thing. But I'm sure he knows, and he will know, that as we are all connected here, we pray for them to go down, do the work, and come back safely and answer what call God has for you next. We'll answer ours. And that is to pray without ceasing. To do what? To steal away in those quiet moments and bow down just for a second. You would do that for Mika as she is struggling, or for Pat Cross, or for Chuckles, or for anybody, for Anna Lee when she got sick. Brothers and sisters, we are all connected. And we are all tied together. And it is an emotional thing, and it loads your heart with pride. And as we get ready to say just a couple days goodbye, we love you. And we understand the journey that you are about to take is different than anyone you ever had before. Because Mama and Daddy have to let something behind. And so brothers and sisters, rise up. We're going to get some prayer going here. So come on up, find a place and lock in. Go as deep as we can back the aisle to the sides to whatever. Understand that they are getting ready to head back out in just a few short days. We have spent the past year with David and Fran. We have watched as they have struggled against things that would prevent them from going back to their work. And yet, all that went away. All that was left behind. Because we prayed. Because we stayed connected. Because we held them in our hearts, those that would do the work. I don't care if you're a member of this church or not, you can still pray. You are still a member of God's family. You are still brothers and sisters. And if you can't get up here, then you pray extra hard from where you're at. Because I don't want nothing happening to them. I want them to go down there, and I want them to come back. And I want them to keep trying to talk me into going down there, because we know that ain't happening. Unless an angel appears to me and says, Paul, go to Brazil, and then I'm going to have to go to Brazil. Gracious Father, let the tears flow. Let the moment of emotion roll over just as strongly as it can. Let all the prayers seal right here amongst this family. Be for these workers. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. And when all the work is over and our time on earth is done and the roll is called up, yonder we'll be there. They're living by that rule. To continue that connection. To bring the word of Jesus Christ everywhere. But Father, it does not come without a personal price to David and Fran. It doesn't come without a personal price to Robert and Alice. They have to say goodbye to their parents. They don't get to run home after school and tell them the things that went on or share with them the joys of day-to-day life. They'll have to store them and share that at a later date. And so our prayer is for them. That this would not be a time of sadness, but a time of drawing ever closer to the one who breathed life into us, the one who breathed life again when we accepted your Son. Father, give them safe journey. Remind us here, hand on each other's shoulder, we are all connected. We are all brought together for one reason. And that is because your Son saved us, and we love Him, and we need Him, and we want to show that light, and we want to keep it going on. And so, Father, I pray right now upon the gathering here that they would send them forth strong. Full of prayer, ready to go, ready to do their work, come back to you soon. But in your time, your will, Father, that it would be done. I would ask that as we leave here today, that there's a conscious effort made for prayers of protection for this entire family. Because if there ain't never been a time for the devil to get started, this would be it. And so we pray for that hedge of thorns around them against him. Let us lift them up evermore. All of us gathered together in one strong voice say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah unto you.
Hallelujah unto you.
And may God watch over and bless them.
May God watch over and bless them.
And all of Jesus' children said,
Amen.
God bless you, brothers and sisters.